All right. Rob Nyer joins Pat and I. Rob, of course, SB Nation, one of the best sites, I think, on the Internet. Provocative columns all the time. Rob, longtime baseball man as well. Rob, how are you?
Hey, Rob.
I'm well. Thanks, guys.
Oh, nice to have you on. So the first one, I want to get right to it. And very interesting. You know, as I say, I read the stuff and I say, why didn't I think of that, or did I think of that? And the column you wrote this week about the extra inning games, you took a strong position on this, and I don't think many baseball fans ever think about it.
Well, first of all, I mean, it's funny that you'd say that a strong position. I don't know that I have a position, except that I will say that there are a lot of people who don't like those games. The players don't really care for them. I don't know. Think the teams do. I mean, they have to wipe their bullpens out. They play until sometimes 1:30 in the morning. None of the fans are still in the stands. Very few people are still watching on TV or even listening on the radio because they're in bed. Now, a lot of people who read it took these points to suggest that I want to get rid of them. I don't. I love them.
Okay.
You know, most of us, you know, you, I, probably most of the listeners right now love that kind of stuff because we're diehard baseball fans. But a lot of people would just assume they went away, and it wouldn't surprise me. And the other thing I would say about that is that the A's game and Angels game, four different players got hurt in extra innings and went on the disabled list. Three for the A's and one for the Angels. And you could certainly argue, some people would argue, that the more baseball you play, the more fatigued you get, and the more likely you are to suffer, in the case of three of those guys, I think, hamstring injuries. So my point was that at some point, it wouldn't surprise me if baseball people start thinking about whether or not this is a good idea or not. I mean, there are other places where they don't play that. I think in Japan, they play a certain time limit, and then that's it. Certainly in at some levels of baseball, you're not going to play a 6.5-hour game. But in the majors, we do. And I love it, but I'm not sure that baseball loves it.
Well, that's why it's a good column, because, you know, as we call ourselves the seamheads, you know, that we can put up with anything. But sometimes, for the marketing of the game, it gets to be a little different. So I thought it was a great point. We discussed it at dinner last night, and it wasn't popular, you know, because everyone obviously there is a baseball person.
Yep.
But it segued into this, and Pat, you can jump in on with Rob.
Sure.
Is the DH coming to the National League? And a lot of people had opinions of that last night.
I don't believe that it's imminent. I mean, I've been reading this suggestion. Well, I mean, people have been talking about it for a long time, although for many years, as you guys know, nobody really said, let's bring the DH to both leagues. The idea, people wanted to get rid of the DH, and there are still people who do, but I think that the argument has shifted because of this constant interleague play. And it's gotten to the point where I think it's the opinion, the discussion has changed anyway. It's just flipped, essentially. And now people are saying, well, this spells the end of pitchers hitting. It's going to happen. Well, you know what? Maybe it will. The trick is to figure out when it's going to happen. I mean, I've read things that suggest it's right around the corner. Might happen next year or the year after. I think it's going to go away, but I don't. That could be 20 years from now. You know, following the Giants as you guys do, you know that a lot of National League fans don't want to see the DH in the National League. And a lot of people who run the teams don't want to see it either. So I don't think we're that close to seeing a real change.
Well, Rob, I know you probably weren't able to see the Giants-Dodgers game last night, but Barry Zito's at-bats were incredibly entertaining. And Kershaw, he poked a double. I mean, so there are, typically I would say most National League pitchers, you get to put a bat in their hand, and it's about as useless as blank on a boar. But, hey, you do see some times where it brings a lot to the game, and it makes it more interesting from my perspective, and I know Marty is in the same camp.
Well, yeah. You know what? I tend to agree with you in a sense. I don't really enjoy watching pitchers hit because, for the most part, they just flail away and it's fruitless. But it does add an element of surprise, and I enjoy that. But what I enjoy the most, it isn't seeing Barry Zito and Clayton Kershaw get hit. That's fun too. What I enjoy is the variety that this gives us. That there is a difference between the leagues, that I can turn my TV on, and, you know, we're so lucky now, for a relatively nominal amount of money, we can watch almost every single game on our television. or on the internet, which is just, you know, compared to what we had 5-10 years ago, it's just a phenomenal development. And I enjoy being able to flip channels and go from one style of baseball to another style of baseball in 2 seconds. I just think that's, for me, it makes being a baseball fan more enjoyable.
Rob Nyer is with us, as you can tell, very, very provocative and smart man.
Yep.
When it comes to baseball. SBNation.com. Go there and you can read all the stuff, everyone that's connected with that site. Rob, just to finish up the thought on that one, the National League is so different in that you really have 4 major scoring innings at your disposal. The other innings, you got to deal with the 8-9 hitter, and generally that ends a rally. Now, the element of surprise when the pitcher gets a hit or the 8 hitter gets a home run, you know, adds to that. But the strategy of the game, the planning of a National League game, is essentially to get to that 8 hitter and the pitcher and get out of trouble. And that's the difference I see, and I enjoy watching it to see how that is maneuvered, as opposed to 9 guys just coming up and not playing any small ball and just trying to hit home runs.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's just a different sort. It's a different style of play. Now, I might argue, just to play the devil's advocate, that, and I know this puts me in the minority probably as the three of us speak, but I would love to see intentional walks either eliminated completely or curtailed significantly. Yeah. I just don't think that it's good. It's not entertaining baseball to watch a guy take 4 pitches. And you have a lot of intentional walks or semi-intentional walks in the National League of that 8 hitter. I mean, there have been years when number 8 hitters, guys who couldn't hit at all, drew 15, 20 intentional walks for the obvious reason. And I wouldn't, if those went away, I wouldn't miss those at all.
Good one. All right, I hadn't thought about that. That's not bad. That's not, just to eliminate that, not only the timing of it, how it adds to a game, but just the strategic part of it. All right. All right, now, one other thought we'll let you go in this beautiful Saturday afternoon for us out here. Where are you today, by the way?
I'm in absolutely gorgeous Portland, Oregon.
Oh, beautiful.
Wow.
Okay.
Right. All right. Yeah. What's the famous donut shop up there, Rob?
Voodoo Donuts. I was right next door yesterday, and this was at 10:30 in the morning. And there was a line of tourists halfway down the block, as there is every single day.
Beautiful.
Making right. money, hand over donut.
Well, yeah. Last night they gave out the All-Star ballots for the first time. We were sitting there last night, and Janine, of course, came up the section and gave it to everybody. But you did a column on the All-Stars of April, which I thought was very interesting. As I went down the list, I said, God, I forgot he had a good April. He had a good April. And it wasn't any of the big people. It was people just came out of nowhere to have great Aprils.
Yeah, there were a lot of those guys, and I actually made it sort of a point to avoid the superstars, and a lot of the superstars had big Aprils, too. One thing that sort of surprised me, and I probably shouldn't be surprised by something, I've been doing this long enough, but really by the end of April, most of the best players are already doing what you would expect them to do. It doesn't take all that long. You know, you'll see great players struggle for the first week or even the first couple of weeks of the season just because, you know, whether they're slumping or injured, or usually it's just the nature of baseball. Funny things can happen over the course of a week or two. But by the end of April, most of the best players are really playing well. And I really searched out players who we weren't expecting to have fantastic seasons, but a number of them have so far anyway. And I think some of them will continue. A number of them are younger players who are just sort of coming into their own.
Yeah, give us a couple of names. I know people always like to hear some of this stuff.
Well, Carlos Santana, Indians catcher, is having a phenomenal season. And he showed great promise in the minors. Hasn't really been able to stay all that healthy with the Indians, but he's got a chance to be one of the great hitting catchers in all of baseball if he can just stay healthy for a whole season.
Good one. All right. Anybody in the National League West that jumps out at you?
You know, I did. I'm trying to think. I had a couple of guys from the National League West. I didn't write about Carl Crawford, although I certainly could have, at least before he got hurt. Gosh, who was there in the NL West?
Well, probably Sandoval would be. I'd have to throw him in there as an all-star third baseman. I don't know if there's a third baseman having a better start than him.
Nah.
Well, you know, my third baseman actually, not a Giant, but my third baseman on the team was Josh Donaldson, the Oakland's third baseman.
All right, well.
And this is a fascinating story. I mean, this is a guy who, a year ago, was a catcher converting him to playing third base who was thought to maybe have a shot at playing in the majors. And the Mets injuries last year, as I'm sure you recall, the A's did, And they had used him as their everyday third baseman, and he was okay. That was it. And nobody thought he had any star potential. I mean, he wasn't really one of their top prospects a year ago. And now all of a sudden, not only does he win the opening day job at third base this year, but he's having a fantastic season. And, just goes to show you, as smart as we think we are, and I certainly think we have a pretty good handle on a lot of things in baseball, guys will surprise you, especially young players, and they'll keep us humble.
Well, that's why I like the April column. It was pretty good. Hey, Rob Nyer, thanks so much, Pat. Something for Rob before he goes?
Well, Rob, I was just noticing that you wrote a column on Clay Buchholz, who's leading all starters in ERA in all of baseball, right? Is it something because he's gotten some grease on his arm, or what's going on there? Jack Morris called him out too, didn't he?
Yeah, Morris did. Dirk Hayhurst sort of got that started, the ex-pitcher turned author turned radio personality in Toronto. And then Jack Morris took it to a different level because he's got a bigger audience on television and in Toronto and really all across Canada. Buchholz definitely was loading up with something. He claims it's rosin that he had on his arm. It didn't look like rosin, but that doesn't mean it wasn't.
It looked like Vaseline, didn't it?
That's what Gaylord Perry said. Like Gaylord Perry said it was always rosin.
Or oil. You know, it's funny. Whenever something like this happens, the pitcher and his manager claim, oh, my God, how can you possibly accuse me of doing something like that? There's no way I would do that. Well, talk to anybody who's spent any time around the game. Even, you know, this is not, you don't have to go back to Gaylord Perry. This stuff is happening every day. It's just that nobody really talks about it until it comes up. And I don't know if Buchholz was cheating, but pitchers do cheat. He's having a phenomenal season and was clearly getting some gunk off of his arm. So I think it's reasonable to at least ask the question.
All right. We'll see what happens. Yeah. Rob, thanks so much as always. And enjoy the beautiful weather up in Portland for the summer.
Right on, Rob.
My
thanks.
Pleasure. Thanks a lot, guys.
All right. That is wonderful. Rob Nyer, SB Nation. Boy, I always enjoy having him.
He's sharp. He's sharp, Marty.